Golden Bay residents are pushing for tighter controls on the marine farming industry, which looks to be rapidly taking off in the area. Six locals have formed a group called the Marine Farming Impact Group to raise awareness of potential problems the marine farming is creating, as well as encouraging the industry to carry out their work responsibly for both residents and the environment. To tell us more, I'm joined by Rod Barker, who got in touch to tell us about the concerns he has, and also concerns having their issues heard by those running the farms. Rod joins me now. Hi, Rod.
Kia ora, Jesse. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Nice to talk to you. Can you introduce New Zealanders to your part of the world for people who haven't been to Golden Bay before?
Yeah, sure. Well, if people are familiar with the top of the south, Nelson, Motueka area, it's over the hill from Motueka. You go over the Takaka Hill, which has got about, I think it's like 365 corners on it, so it's a pretty windy road, and when you get over into the bay, it sort of opens out. It's an hourglass, sort of like a semi-circle shaped bay.
Yeah, but like a scythe, isn't it?
Yeah, and you've got Farewell Spit sort of coming around the outside there, and it's sort of framed with Kohodangi National Park and some hills around, and also Abel Tasman National Park on one side as well.
Yeah, definitely on my bucket list for visiting. And you've had a few changes in terms of industry around you recently. What's been happening?
Yeah, it's been something that's been growing over the years, as far as the expansion of the mussel industry. And yeah, and it's happening in other parts of New Zealand as well. And there's quite a push from central government, I guess, and industry kind of working and collaborating with each other to expand marine farming of various sorts, whether it's oysters or whatever, or mussels. So, yeah, there's quite a bit of, funding from government and push from industry to expand as well.
Is it visible?
It is visible. From where I live sort of about 80 metres up on the coast, sort of near the coast, about half a kilometre from the coast, and I can see the mussel farms out in the bay, sort of stretching out around there. And I was just looking at a map before of what the planned area is for the expansion, and I sort of did a rough estimate. It's close to about 20 kilometres squared of area that they're looking at farming out there. It's quite a big area.
Yeah, indeed. And there's a clue to how good the places for mussel farming, because you've got the Mussel Inn, famous venue for musicians touring through New Zealand.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, mussel farming's been happening here for a while. And there's obviously some locals that are quite keen on the idea, for employment and whatnot. But it's the impacts from the industry that are concerning quite a few locals as well. And quite often, the mussel boats, they can start up at 3 a.m. in the morning, and they head on out to the farms and do whatever they do out there. And the types of boats that they've got, and dropped out.
No, you're all right. I can still hear you.
Oh yeah, you're still there. Oh, it must have been something coming through on my phone. The types of boats they've got, the aluminium hulls, and they're quite, must have reasonably sized engines on them, because it's a kind of harmonic resonance, and it's a low kind of rumble that comes from the engines, and it tends to go through walls. And I guess there's an impact for residents and potentially visitors around the whole coastal region.
Yeah, impact on the quality of life, hey?
Yeah, quality of life, and kind of impacts on the natural character, I guess. You could classify it as outstanding natural character.
Yeah.
I don't know if many people kind of understand what that might mean, but I've got a definition here if I can read that out.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, it's those areas containing a combination of elements, patterns and processes that are exceptional in their intactness, integrity and lack of built structures and their modification and other modifications compared to others in the same terrestrial area. So there's that kind of, explanation for outstanding natural character.
But yeah, you love the place, but also you can objectively point to this definition and say there is something special about Golden Bay, and the impact of the marine farming, I think that's what they call an externality. So the company is just doing what the company does, but it's creating these effects that it sort of doesn't have responsibility for.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. And it's quite often, it's there's, the marketing and whatever that comes from industry and from government as well is that it's kind of sustainable and it's great and it's good. And
injecting money and growth into the region.
Yeah, that's right, and providing jobs and stuff like that. But then they don't kind of look at, they don't want to publicise the negative or the adverse effects.
Yeah.
So, for instance, I go walking on my beach quite regularly down in Port Hutter, where I live, and I pick up waste, like offcuts of like plastic kind of cord offcuts, nylon cord, which is a type of plastic, I guess. And so cord offcuts, I've got about half a rubbish bag of that since I've been collecting since February-ish.
Yeah.
And also I kayak around into Old Tasman from not far from home, actually. And you find it on the beaches there. And I spoke to a guy who lives over the next bay over from me in Lygar Bay, and he's got two big rubbish bags, he said, that he's been collecting over the last 18 months.
Jeez, by the way, sounds like a pretty special life you got. Just go out in the kayak, paddle around to Abel Tasman.
Yeah,
no big
deal. It's not far from where I live. I can bike there. You know, it takes me about half an hour to an hour to bike into the national park and then go for a walk, or I can kayak around from near the front of where I live. And
so you got worried, Rod. You got a bit worried about this, and you decided to actually do something formal about it and form a group. And were there other people who had similar concerns to you?
Yeah, there was. And, I posted some stuff on the local Facebook page and got some interesting comments from people who kind of tried to shoot me down and stuff. But there was also people who were concerned as well, and they got in touch with me. And there was a guy who was trying to push stuff with council. He's been doing it for years. And he was kind of burnt out by the whole trying to make something happen with council and industry and stuff. And he was kind of concerned as well for his local business that it would draw negative attention to his business, though, which is fair enough because it's a small community here, sort of like, roughly 3,000-odd people.
Yeah. So what is the aim of your group? You're calling yourselves the Marine Farming Impact Group. What are you going to do? What do you hope to achieve?
Yeah, well, we're wanting to work with the council and the industry to, I guess, ensure that they put some reasonable measures in place to, mitigate the adverse effects. So, I guess when you look at consenting processes or consenting conditions for businesses to operate, they need to stipulate various things within those conditions that an industry or whoever applies for the consent has to abide by. So we're wanting to ensure that, the industry is got some really strong guidelines for them to operate by and that they're kind of held to account, really.
Well, what about this Mussel Farming Association? Don't they act as a sort of a bit of a regulator for the industry?
Yeah, they do to a certain extent. So you've got the MFA, the Mussel Farming Association, and then you've also got Aquaculture NZ. And they kind of both work in different parts of New Zealand to with the industry, but it's kind of more around the business growth side of things, and some of it, like for instance, the Aquaculture NZ, they've got an A+ rating scheme where the businesses that are involved with, that are kind of signed up with this process, they self-assess and they have an assessment kind of schedule that they try and abide by to attain this rating, A+ rating, but it's a self-assessment, so it's kind of industry is self-regulating, really.
You made any progress yet?
No, very little. We've had a few meetings and a few emails and stuff, but there's a lot of resistance from the industry and especially from council, which is really frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping to get some traction and we'll just keep trying and try not to get worn down by it all.
Yeah.
But one of the things we're trying to do at the moment, we're conducting a community survey. So we've got a Survey Monkey kind of thing online And we've been, some of our group have been door knocking and handing out surveys to community members to get their opinions and insights and, how they're affected by the various industry impacts. So
the council did a bit of monitoring and showed that the permitted noise levels were not being exceeded, but you're suggesting it's not the volume of the noise, it's more the penetrating quality of it.
Yeah, that's right. So when you think about the a device that's designed to pick up certain decibels, it's a device and it's not... We're humans are a bit more complex than those kind of monitoring devices. So, but I guess, as council, they want to find some kind of way to define what is acceptable and what's not acceptable. But for residents living in Golden Bay, a lot of people are actually here for those outstanding natural character features. So when you've got a low droning noise that comes through walls and into your house, like, for instance, I sleep with earplugs in quite often to help reduce the noise.
Hey, Rod, good on you for doing something about it. I hope you make some progress and stay in touch with us, all right?
Yeah, cool. Thanks a lot, Jesse. I really appreciate giving me time for the interview.
Cheers. Rod Barker, who's formed a group called the Marine Farming Impact Group because he's worried about the impact of mussel farming on Golden Bay and Golden Bay residents.